How's it, everybody? Welcome back for another episode with me, Nick. As always, I'm joined by my good buddy, Ronnie. I must maybe start off by first saying sorry the episode's a day late. Ronnie and I had both a lot going on at work yesterday, so we just didn't manage to record in time. But here we are. We're ready to take you through some epic rugby action. Ronnie, looking a little fragile there in Spain.
I had an interesting night on the streets of Donosti yesterday, so yeah.
Oh, that's good to see. Yeah, I am amazed that I made it back safely from a weekend in Cape Town. That wind was ridiculous. I've legitimately never seen anything like that before.
Yeah, but you still went with only your shorts.
Yeah, of course. Standard shorts. Must be in the shorts. Less to blow away, Ronnie.
Okay.
Well, but yeah, I made the same rookie error I've made a number of times when being down in Cape Town. So at the airport, I rented myself a car, a little Renault Kwid. You know, it's tough to break the speed limit in a car like that.
A little clown car.
Yeah. So there we go. Nick pulls out of the airport. First thing I notice is, oh no, my bonnet is not clipped down. And this happened to a mate of ours not so long ago. So I pull over at that first BP and I properly close the bonnet. Get back on the road. Oof, there goes the camera flash. Yep. Nick got another speeding fine outside Cape Town International Airport. Because apparently 120 is not a speed limit in Cape Town on a highway.
No, it's all like 100.
Ridiculous.
You know, in Cape Town, we always said that everything's an hour away. It doesn't matter what you want to do, it takes you an hour to get there. And that's because of the speed limits. They bring them down just to ensure that everything is, in fact, 1 hour away.
Yeah, enjoy the scenic drive. Don't go too fast. And then you're on this open highway that Oaks and Gauteng are clapping at 160. And down there, everyone in Cape Town's friendly, waving at each other. It's 80, 90 kilometers, even not hitting that bloody 100. So
it's a different world.
Just to make it worse, Ronnie, the car that they leased to me was a GP number plate. So it was really a Gautenger down there causing trouble.
Okay, well, at least you made it home.
Yeah, no, very true. And made it home to see Chasing the Sun episode 3, Ronnie. I think we need to have a bit of a chat about that. It was insane.
How's that opener? Where he calls out his main dogs.
Yeah, I can't have three big dogs patrolling not together.
Yeah.
Unreal from Rusty. And the level of preparation. How funny was it, Rusty, walking around everywhere with a speaker playing the French anthem?
Yeah, I was a little bit more surprised. They said it was Sosa's speaker. So does he get special allowance to travel with extra baggage with that bloody speaker? That thing was huge.
Yeah, that's actually true. I never thought about that, Ronnie. It was huge, but... And it was Springbok branded, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, well, if you're a World Cup winner, you can get anything branded, I'm sure. But yeah, I thought that was a bit ridiculous. You know, here's my numerous bags and also this giant speaker, which you must now fly to Europe for me. That would be a bit ridiculous.
But actually on that, you've just reminded me what happened when I was leaving Cape Town on Sunday. I only took hand luggage. I was there for a night, so I took a hand luggage. And in the hand luggage, I had a backpack as well for going to the stadium. And then I get to the airport to check in for my flight. And the lady's like, no, that bag looks too big. Let me weigh it. So I weigh it. She says, no, it's too heavy. You have to take stuff out. So she literally lets me take my toiletry bag out, put it in my backpack and throw it on my back. Gives me my ticket. I literally turned around, put it straight back in the main bag and carried on walking through the airport.
Well, that's the way that these policies work.
It's ridiculous. So... I mean, we're still all dying to see how Chasing the Sun 2 ends. I mean, it's gonna be epic. What will come next? First half against the French, and they've just taken a long break like this.
Nick, that's a good joke. When I made that joke on the group call with the friends, you guys all looked at me as if I was an idiot. So,
yeah, it's definitely a good joke. I did steal it from you there, Ronnie. You are right. Maybe admitting that I'm going to have to cut out of the show. But let's take a look, Ronnie, at this week's Champions Cup action. And I see you've written here in the notes that you are currently 62nd on the log.
Yep.
I'm definitely calling a bullshit. I don't believe that for 1 second. I'm in
124th. Why won't you believe? I beat you every week in, week out, and then you go and you discredit my very truthful answer. I'm 62nd.
I would like a screen grab, and I think all the listeners will agree with me. I should have to post a screen grab of your ranking.
You know what? You can just scroll to page 2 and you'll find me there where it says 62.
Page 2. Okay, Ronnie. Well, let's take a look then this weekend. A lot of action. Obviously, we're going to pay more attention to the games from the South African side. But first up in the Champions Cup, we had Harlequins They played host to Glasgow Warriors. And Andre Essay isn't actually saving them, Ronnie, scoring a try at the end to bring it home for Quins and get them through to the quarterfinals.
Yeah. Andre Essay isn't going to be a great addition to the Sharks contingency later on. But yeah, very good. Well done, Andre Essay, doing something nice for his team that he's about to leave.
Yeah, absolutely. You can always count on a South African, hey, Ronnie?
Yeah, of course. We're just so excellent. We know how to win games. Right, then the Bulls versus Leon. Very dominant performance by the Bulls. 59 points to 19, which the Bulls at the moment are our South African hope, the only hope that we have at this point, unfortunately. But yeah, fantastic of them. I think it's very difficult to expect a French side to go over to loft this. I want to say it was hot and humid and whatnot, but, with all the strange weather we've been having in South Africa lately, I'm sure, no one knew what to make of the weather. But yeah, a little bit of a dampener right before the game started. Ruan Nokia ruled out, but then a young 19-year-old Van Heerden brought in. So I believe, the Bulls management and coaching staff backed the youngster there. No, he's an exciting player, for sure.
I think the last Van Heerden to have saved the Bulls was old Vickers, and you can't go wrong with a Van Heerden, can you?
Vickers Van Heerden, you're right. So he was a great player, I think, for a couple
of late 2000s. But yeah, I walked into Ferryman's for a pre-game beer and saw this on the TV, and I was shocked to see the Bulls ran away with the game so much. I was expecting a much closer contest out of this one.
I think we were both expecting it, right? I mean, we're in the Champions Cup. You'd expect all the teams to be performing, especially now in the knockout stages. But yeah, 9-3 in favor of the Bulls. So yeah, well done, Bulls. You guys deserve your spot in the top eight. And it was a good game to watch as a neutral, but especially so as a Bulls fan.
A good bounce back from that loss to Leinster as well the week before.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is difficult to, from one, it seems like different teams, perform differently in the different competitions, but you're absolutely right. If they look at their performances in the URC, they're quite consistent and bring it over into the Champions Cup. And, a couple of tries for the small guys in the Bulls side, Embrace Papied and Sebastian de Klerk, each scoring two themselves. And yeah, it was fantastic to see if you're a fan of the small guys. Then the Bulls, 390 post-contact meters, which I don't know, I can see you raising your eyebrows. That's incredible, right? So
that's what I normally get against you on the Xbox.
No, you don't. Sorry. Yeah, we just leave it at that. We won't embarrass you any further. But yeah, it makes sense why the Bulls scored 9-3, because they were just so dominant at post-collision. Fantastic to see. Leon scoring the old Irish way with a quick tap when the Bulls are not paying attention. So that's happened at Loftus once or twice, in the past. Very controversial, of course. But the Bulls, you've got to play to the whistle. You've got to pay attention to what's going on. And Leon was smart enough to quick tap and get away with a try there. So,
Yeah, well done to Leon. I mean, like you say, Ronnie, you have to play to the whistle. That's the absolute in the game. And as Chasing the Shunts have shown us, chasing lost causes as well. Play to the whistle.
Chasing lost causes. Yeah, it's not over until it's over. Yeah, Curtly Aronson, man of the match, honestly. Curtly Aronson, the case can be made that he's the best Springbok that we have at the moment, right? He's incredible. Whatever happens when he touches the ball, it's just magical.
It really is. He's excellent to watch. And Ronnie Villiers really tying that Bulls back three together nicely, hey? Still not convinced about Kanan at 13, but that Bulls back three is firing and it is lethal.
Yeah, I'm surprised you said that. My dad actually said that as well. He said that he's not convinced with Moody at 13. For me, the jury's still out. I think that in the long run, it's probably we need to play him at 13. But we'll see. But you're absolutely right. Vili LaRue, yeah, that's a lot of experience. And he's marshalling that back three very well.
I still stand by him being the best signing for a South African side over the last 2 years. It really was a masterstroke by Jake to bring him to the Bulls. Ronnie, over in England, we had Exeter Chiefs playing host to Bath. Bath coming up losers in that one with 21 points to 15. I didn't catch that game, not one we're really going to chat about. So,
hang on. I have a comment to make. I would like to chat about this one and ask you why the hell you backed the Bath and Super Brew.
I backed Bath because of Finn Russell.
Okay, so I suppose that's okay. I'll accept that. Because I looked at that corner, I was like, what is this guy thinking? Who backs Bath? But yeah, you're okay.
I backed it for Finn Russell. Ronnie, then over to Stormers versus La Rochelle. So as you guys know now, this was a game that I was at. The wind in that stadium was ridiculous. I was watching people get blown over. It was howling through there. So right off the bat, let me just say, Marnie Lubbock was never going to get that kick. It wasn't even a question of, is it going to go over? If you were in that stadium, you know it wasn't going to go over. I don't know if it was...
Well, Dan Carter was able to get a kick like that. I mean, that's a recurring video on YouTube often with Dan Carter's banana kick. So Dan Carter could have got it.
Possibly. But let me tell you, the moment Marnie didn't aim to like skim it over the crossbar and gave it some height, that ball took off like a kite. It was really, really ridiculous. So I don't blame Marnie for that. And let's not forget, in December, it was the exact same situation and he slotted it to beat La Rochelle. So,
yeah,
you know, 50-50.
Now you're arguing both sides. You're saying he's done it once, but he was never going to get it this time. So come on.
Back then there wasn't.
Be a little bit more consistent. Okay.
So Ronnie, I mean, Stormers, and I said it when I was sitting in the stands, 16 points to nil at one point, but they were not capitalizing enough on their dominance. They were constantly putting La Rochelle under pressure, constantly camped out in their 22, and 16-0 was not enough of a lead for the dominance they had in that first half.
Yeah, it's always disappointing when you see a team go out in that lead and then you think everything's going to go fantastic and then complacency creeps in and you end up losing the game. Very disappointing.
And I mean, a team like La Rochelle as well, they class, they're not going to go away. So you really, when your opportunities come, need to take them and bury them. Because we did. We suddenly saw them come back and all of a sudden they were in front and it was 10 minutes had gone in the game, you know. So La Rochelle, very, very lethal. I do think the number of injuries the Stormers side suffered was a big influencing factor in this. A number of players. Dion Faree went down. Salman Murat went down, which we'll talk a bit more about later. You know, a number of big injuries there for them.
And Dylan Lades got yellow carded. That could have also had its effect.
Absolutely. Yeah. Dylan Lades' yellow card, that was for diving over on the ruck. And Damian Willemse, if he'd just made that pass, you know, it was a game of such close moments.
Right. The close moments are definitely a thing. I think we often forget about Sia in the World Cup at one stage in the final, making an incredible break. And if he had just got that pass off at the end there, we would have won not by 1 point, but by more points. That's what it comes down to in these top class games. 1 point is all you need. I saw a post about all the South Africans winning their games by 1 point, you know, living by the sword and then dying by it too. You know, we lost this game by 1 point.
Yeah, unfortunately, very, very close. Ronnie, then onto a game that was by no means close. Bordeaux really taking a hammer to Saracens with a 45-12 win. Ronnie, I'm not sure I've ever seen a team be as badly dismantled as Saracens were here. It was shocking. And I mean, 45-12, bear in mind that Bordeaux also had 3 tries disallowed and were reduced to 14 men.
I mean, Saracens are a class side, right? It's a team we love to hate, right? Because of various other players that may have played for them in the past. And Saracens are a quality side. But yeah, that's a massive loss to Bordeaux. Bordeaux is very strong at the moment. And, you know, they seem to be a team that does prioritize the Champions Cup over top 14 as well. So, but you're absolutely right. Yeah, again, being reduced to 14 men, this is a case to be made that, you know, when you go down in number of players, it doesn't mean that you're going to lose the game. Right. So red cards. Yeah. I mean, 14-15. Yeah. Look, I think at the end of the day, it's still very evenly matched 14-15.
Yeah. I mean, and you mentioned Bordeaux is a strong side, but on the flip, so are the Saracens. They were once England's top side. They've still got a number of top international players there. It was really a shock for me when I saw that scoreline creep up. Ronnie, then over to another game. And I actually struggled to decide on this game. I know everyone Leinster, but Leinster versus Leicester Tigers with Andre Pollard kicking, you know, I had to give it some thought on selecting Leicester. Ultimately, though, Leinster coming away victors, 36-22.
So basically the Irish side. Yeah. Very dominant performance from them. Yeah.
I mean, it was the Jamison Gibson Park show. That actually sounds like something you could go watch at Monte Cassino, but but it was ridiculous.
It's a good joke that you come up with that on the spot.
I did, yeah. Thanks, Ronnie.
Well done.
I mean, 3 tries in the opening 30 minutes. He was giving Leicester help. Pollard scored first, the opening try of the game, managed to convert it. But after that, Leinster had firm control of that game.
Yeah, then we go into a match that I actually watched, the Northampton Saints beating Munster. And 24-14, which is obviously disappointing if you're a Bills fan, because now the Bills had to travel, and we'll possibly talk about that, touch on that as well. But yeah, 14 points at halftime, and then Munster couldn't do it in the second half. They just could not score, and they ran out of gas. But you know, the Premiership is not exactly a competition I follow very closely. I've heard great things about the Premiership, being, you know, lots of quality rugby going on there. But the Northampton Saints, you know, that's one team that, you know, I've been following a bit, and you know, they're a very good side, and it was always going to be difficult for Munster to go to the Saints' home ground and try to secure a W there. But yeah, like I said, 14 points at halftime, and Munster just could not step up into the next gear. And George Henley scored two second half tries, which to put Munster away, and then came on at 60 minutes and scored immediately. Then again, 10 minutes later. So yeah, geez, well done Saints on that.
I mean, that's the thing of a player coming off the bench and being a point of difference, you know, and that's what Rassie tries with the bomb squad, is to have eight players coming on and being a point of difference. But this is a prime example of someone coming on with an immediate impact on the game. Two tries is something to be very proud of once you've come off the bench.
Yeah, absolutely right. And yeah, unfortunately for the Bulls, you got to come over to Northampton Saints' home ground.
Yeah, that's going to be a very tough fixture, which we'll preview a little bit later. Ronnie, over then to Toulouse versus Racing 92. So this was an interesting game. Toulouse proving way too powerful with a 31-7 victory over Racing. Very sad in this one. Siris Kalisi returned from injury, only to get injured 22 minutes into the game. It looks like an ankle injury, possibly a serious one. You know, so we're quite worried about that with the international season.
Quite injury prone now at the moment, Sia.
Yeah, or, you know, like Arche, he's just doing all his rehab over there and then we'll come and it's prime for the box.
Yeah, it's disappointing though. But also, if you're going to get injured, this is the time to get injured. There's still a number of years before the next World Cup. So, what is it, 36 to 40 months away? So, well, unfortunately, seeing Sia go down, but you know, it opens up opportunities for other people.
Yeah, I mean, you've got Racing 92 are one of the top-ranked sides in the top 14. They've been playing really class rugby this year. And they went down 5-1. So having Intermac back for Toulouse, having Antoine Dupont playing, really, really shows the class that those two bring. And Ronnie, I'm going to dare to say this on this podcast, because quickly emerging as one of my absolute favorite players in rugby at the moment is Malvaka. He is such an abrasive force at hooker. And he's still so young. I'm really enjoying watching him play both for club and country.
You only enjoy it when he's not playing against the South African side.
Yeah, obviously. Because he did score the try against us in the quarters.
I know. He causes a lot of tension. Okay.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Racing's high error rate, this is definitely a game Blair Kinghorn would rather forget, Ronnie. It was kind of like watching back in the day. He really, really struggled.
Sorry, you broke up there. Did you say it was kind of like watching me back in the day?
Yeah, that's exactly what I said.
Oh. Well, that's fine. It's watching him struggle is like watching you today.
Yeah, Ronnie, that's because I'm an old man now. That insult doesn't hit as hard. Then we go over, Ronnie, to the Challenge Cup, where it looks like you may actually have been honest with your ranking here now, because you've admitted to being 179th on the log. Unfortunately, I'm...
This is you, 260th. You're like on page 19.
You know what, Ronnie? I'm still in the top quarter of our pool, at least.
Okay, whatever. That's because most of the people give up.
So first up on Friday night, we had Gloucester, and I'm probably saying that wrong. It's probably Gloucestershire sauce or something like that.
That's another good joke. You're on a roll today.
Thanks, hey, Ronald. Yes, that was quite a compliment from you. Those are quite rare. So Gloucester working out 30-25 point wins against Cast. There we go, Ian. Not a game that I watched, but I did expect Gloucester to take that one.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It was a close game, and Gloucester did an exceptionally well job by, you know, being within 5 points at the end of it. But knockout rugby, 5 points, losing by 5 points, not enough.
Then over to France, where Clermont hosted the Toyota Cheetahs. A bit of a sad game. It was really, really close at the end, 27-22. Halftime, the Cheetahs were trailing 20-3, Ronnie, and it looked dead and buried. Mm. And the second half, they really got stuck in, got into the hard graft. They were, you know, gelling. And another player for me this weekend that was a real point of difference was Siva Korma. I definitely said that wrong, but, you know, he was really helpful, grabbing two quick tries in the second half for the Cheetahs that really brought them back into the contest.
Yeah. No, but yeah. Fantastic to see. Great performance in the second half from the Cheetahs. But unfortunately, not enough. Like we said, losing by 1 point means you go home.
Yeah, and I mean, tough for the Cheetahs as well, considering they're in this competition. I'm sure they are grateful to be there. But the fact that they don't have a home ground, you know, they don't get those home ground fixtures, makes this competition a little out of reach for them. And head coach actually coming out and speaking about it. The lacuna or the gap between the SA Cup and the Champions Cup is massive for the Cheetahs. And if they're playing in one and only getting that experience and they need to step up, it's something SA Rugby really needs to address.
Absolutely.
And then lastly on this one, Ronnie, we need to give a massive shout out to an absolute goat of Springbok rugby, legend in Ireland for his time at Ulster too, but Ruan Pienaar. Can't believe that was his last game.
Honestly, I can't believe he's been playing this long, right? I mean, for rugby standards, he's bloody old. He's a grandfather, but he's fantastic. I honestly thought that maybe Rusty would have roped him in as the old Madala into the Rugby World Cup team last year. Wasn't to be. Would have been nice to see. But what a legend. Sure. Then going over to Treviso, we had Benetton beating the Lions. Again, unfortunate for the South African side. So Benetton coming away with a win there, 27-17. 17-7 at halftime. So, you know, the Lions kind of winning the second half.
Well, 10 points each in the second half.
Well done, you quick man. Hey. You caught me off there. Okay, yeah. Nicotera getting a red and most likely a ban that would be incoming for him. And despite having an extra man for most of the second half, you know, the Lions just couldn't take advantage of that and capitalize over a 14-man Benetton side, which, again, another case for, you know, you don't necessarily going to lose the game if you're down to 14 people. So if your team's strong enough and you can find the space and defend the space too. So, yeah, another case to be made. Another case against the 20-minute red card, but I still think 20-minute red card's probably a good thing, but for another day. Fantastic to see a bit of confidence from the Benetton side. It's always nice to see a bit of confidence with the Italians, but, you know, kicking for touch and that paying off ultimately for them. And, yeah, unfortunately for the Lions and fortunately for the future Sharks, Jordan Hendricks are struggling a bit with his kicking on the day, which was nice to see.
Yeah, you know, Benetton also showing the class and the experience that those youngsters are gaining with the Italian side. I mean, their ability to close that one out, because the Lions also did pick up the pace a bit in the second half. Being a man down, very well done to Benetton to hold on and make it through to the next round of the playoffs. Ronnie, then we go over to Edinburgh versus Bayonne. And this was quite a big victory for Edinburgh, 33 points to 15. Ben Velikot proving a massive point of difference in this one. It was pretty much tie up until he dished up two tries. 3 minutes apart, one in the 53rd, one in the 56th, and looks like it was the weekend of the scrum halves with Papier also getting two and Gibson Park three.
Yeah, obviously a good time to be the scrum halves.
Yeah, definitely true, Ronnie. So then we go over to the Ospreys in Wales. Good to see a Welsh side making it through the playoff stages thus far. They managed to beat Sail Sharks 23 points to 15. It was a comeback win for them as well. And honestly, I did not expect Sail Sharks to lose this one.
Yeah, Sail Sharks for sure. I agree with you there. They are the side to be between the Ospreys and Sail. But yeah, going over to Wales and then I suppose the weather. I don't know what else you could play with on. Then a game that I thoroughly enjoyed. And the reason I've enjoyed this is because we have our big Super Brew pool, which means a lot. And then we have the one amongst our group of friends that don't necessarily want to play the other pool. And I noticed that I was the only one in that pool to correctly predict the outcome of this game. Being that Ulster would beat Montpellier. You know, I kind of want to ask, like, how did you guys think that Ulster was going to lose to Montpellier? I mean, this is just a ridiculous thing for you guys to assume. But yeah, 6-2 in favor of Ulster, who got 40 points in the end over the Montpellier's sad little 17. But yeah, fantastic from the Ulster men. Yeah, well, that's another one for the URC being better than the top 14.
I saw no Curvis Reinach for Montpellier. If I'd noticed that first, I probably would have picked Ulster as well.
And you're not paying attention. That's it. You can blame it on. So Ulster coming back from a 14-point deficit and then just, you know, shifting into next gear and absolutely decimating Montpellier. Paul Willemse, another red card, most likely a ban incoming for him, which isn't nice to see. If you're a South African purist, I don't know what the word is, because Can we consider him South African? I suppose it is possible to begin.
Well, I mean, this is an example now of a team going down to 14 and not doing well.
Yeah, but Ulster, you're never going to beat Ulster. I mean, you should just always listen to me. Ulster's a quality side. You're not going to.
The Sharks beat Ulster.
That's because I backed the Sharks at the time.
Ronnie, then we jumped down to Durban where the weather looked almost as bad as it was in Cape Town, but the Sharks getting a commanding 47-3 point victory over Zebre. Yes, Zebre not the strongest opposition, but I think the fact that they scored 7-0 shows maybe things are changing at the Sharks. It's also their third win on the trot.
Yeah, I think I said on the WhatsApp group, I wish the Sharks would play Zebre more often because we looked formidable and it was fantastic to see.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, Zebre scored first. That was a penalty in the 5th minute. That was the last time. After that, it was one-way traffic. Siya Masuku really continues to impress me at 10. I think the more game time getting there, the better he's looking. And he earned a man of the match in this game again.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Siya Masuku is very exciting at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, it was 21-3 at halftime. So I'd say both halves, the Sharks dominated of almost equal measure. But still many handling errors creeping into the Sharks game, Ronnie, and it's a bit concerning for me. I mean, there were 15 drop balls in this game. That score could have been 60-70 points had that not happened.
Yeah, well, we'll take the win though, right? As a Sharks fan, it has been great pickings for a little while now, but yeah, we've done all right for 2 games previously in the IRC and now 1 in the Challenge Cup. So yeah, we'll take it.
Yeah, I haven't heard you call it the IRC in quite a while, hey?
It's a URC for those that aren't new.
Then last one for the weekend, Ronnie. Pau getting hammered at home, 3-40 by Connacht. Connacht proving Irish power just too much for the French there, and a commanding victory for them that sees them through to the playoff stages.
Yeah, well done.
Lekker, Ronnie. Well, that's the weekend's action wrapped up. And as we know, we are now heading over to the quarterfinal stage of both the Champions and Challenge Cups. So we're going to do some predictions now. But before we do, I owe an apology to Fernando Langert. Fernando, I did forget to bring up the Lions game last week. Apologies for that.
That's a prediction. Poor form, Nick.
Wait a minute. This is a co-hosted show. Why am I the only one apologizing?
No, this is poor form, because we actually spoke about it, but because I'd made a joke about my position on Superbury, you decided to cut it from the final edit, so... Fernando, I completely agree with you.
Look at Ronnie selling me down the river there, hey? So yeah, apologies for that. And for all the Lions fans, that was not intentional. It was just a mere oversight. Ronnie talking nonsense probably did distract me, but we'll try not to miss any this week. Okay, Ronald?
Fine.
So let's start first up. We have Gloucester facing the Ospreys in the Challenge Cup. Ronnie, who's taking it?
Gloucester. It's still going to be difficult, right? So when in doubt, you back the home side, but Gloucester's very strong showing at the moment, so I'd back them quite comfortably.
I'm also going to go for Gloucester in that one. Then we move over to Saturday's fixtures, Ronnie, and there we have Clermont hosting Ulster. Now you said you always have to back Ulster just now. Who are we backing here?
Back Ulster. No, back Clermont. Back to him. There's a little bit of doubt creeping in, so of course, you know what happens when you doubt? You have to back the home side. But no, Ulster should take this one.
So anyone that wanted tips on their pick there, you could pick either of them and make an argument that Ronnie told you to now.
Classic.
Ronnie, then the Sharks have a rematch against Edinburgh. So this is a fixture that happened very recently in the URC. Former Sharks coach Sean Everett is at Edinburgh. Another grudge match, another chance for Sean to redo what happened in Durban. I'm going for the Sharks in this one. I think they're building up ahead of steam. It's going to be hard to topple them at home.
Yeah, we absolutely have to back the Sharks, right? So we want a strong showing from the South African sides. So let's back them. Let's back the Sharks to get into the Champions Cup for next year.
Yep, let's hope so, because that has to be a major target for the side now. Then the Dismantlers of Saracens, Bordeaux Beglers, play host to Harlequins. Yo, based on how close of a call the quiz...
Hang on. Now, Fernando's going to have something to say about this again. You've now missed one of the fixtures for the Challenge Cup here.
Which fixture, Ronald?
Benetton, there's Connacht.
Yeah, but I'm going in order of the fixtures happening.
But this is exactly why you made the error last week. Just finish one competition and jump over to the next one. Fernando, look, I completely agree with you. This guy is all over the place.
Yeah, okay, fine. I will do it that way, Ronnie, then, just to please you. So you're right. On Sunday, a fixture that I was going to get to, Benetton are hosting Connacht in Treviso. I don't think Benetton's going to have enough in the tank to keep Connacht at bay. I'm going to back Connacht in this one.
I agree with you. Carry on.
Thanks. Do I have your permission now to go over to the Champions Cup, Ronald?
You do.
Thank you. Thank you very much. You all heard it here. So, Ronnie, let me start again then and say, just because I enjoy saying it too, the Slayers of the Saracens, Bordeaux Beglers, play host to Harlequins. And I think, you know, after Quinn's game was so tight and Bordeaux had such a runaway, Bordeaux at home, you have to back them by at least 10 points.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I'd like to see the Harlequins come away with a win there, you know, Indra Esteism, but I think this is leaning towards Bordeaux.
And then what you could probably classify as a shadow final, Ronnie, we have Leinster hosting La Rochelle. Now, they've been the back-to-back finalists the last two seasons and met in the final, with La Rochelle walking away victors both time. La Rochelle in this game have had to fly 13,219 miles from France to Cape Town to Ireland. So it's a lot of travel they have to do before facing the Irish side now.
Yeah, so perhaps Leinster's got this one in the bag. You know, La Rochelle probably the one team that consistently upsets Leinster. But I think with based on their travel, Leinster is probably going to take the win here. Although we've seen the results go, you know, the other way based on the home side in recent years, but I'd still back Leinster.
Yeah, I think Leinster's going to take this one purely on the travel factor and that Leinster's been playing at home. Ronnie, then we have Northampton Saints playing host to the Blue Bulls. A bit of drama around this game that I actually just want to chat about because we saw Jake White come out and complain. The Bulls players have been split onto 8 different flights. They're only flying from Tuesday to go and play in a quarterfinal in England, and a lot of anger directed towards SA Rugby. What have you thought of that, Ronnie?
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, there's obviously a lot of things coming out of the various camps, and you know, it's a lot of rumors though, but there seems to be some truth to a whole bunch of it. It's just unfortunate. SA Rugby didn't expect the Bulls to make it through, but they did. And as it was, you know, their prize was to get split over 8 different flights. I saw some of them were economy class seats, some of them were business. Wasn't quite sure. But yeah, the Bulls all over the place, and it's going to be very difficult if we expect a win against Northampton Saints.
So I'm going to take a stance of standing up for SA Rugby here because I've come into some additional information, and that is, first up, sure, on Saturday night we knew the Bulls were through to the quarterfinals, but it wasn't until Munster's game that they knew they were going to be traveling to England. Now, how do you pre-book a squad of 30 and all the coaches and stuff? Flights, that costs a hell of a lot of money. Until there's a travel partner for this competition, this is going to be a headache that they constantly face. But what I'm now informed of is, Saru paid 4 million rand now to get the Bulls overseas. And the difficulty with the travel came in because the Bulls refused to fly economy class. They all wanted business class seats. And that's what created the logistic problem.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there, right? But I'd also be frustrated if I was a 6'4" lock and had to sit in economy class, though. So when it comes down to that, you do expect top-of-the-shelf seats. But yes, you know, having been a consistent economy flyer in my life, because I simply can't afford business class seats, yeah, that's a big bill to pick up from SA Rugby.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, this is going to be a constant challenge. It was a challenge in Super Rugby. It's going to be a challenge in Europe. It's just the way it is when you're playing across countries and across continents.
Yeah, I think my frustration with it, however, was that I heard that there'd be some pre-booking that took place for the Stormers, but not for the Bulls. But again, that's just the rumor mill doing its rounds. And then it's a case of, you know, some of the flights I think we're leaving today. Today's Wednesday, right? So that's very late to get over there, get used to the conditions, and then be fresh for the game on the weekend, right? So you should really try fly out on Sunday night, Monday at the latest, but really to push it to Tuesday and Wednesday, that's a big ask.
No, I did. Look, I'm not by any means suggesting it's an ideal situation, but there's definitely context to both sides of the stories that I think is lacking out in the media at the moment. So I just wanted to put that out there. Ronnie, I'm going to back the Saints to win that one, unfortunately, based on the travel factor. The Saints are a really quality side this year, and I think it's just going to be too much for the Bulls to overcome.
No, the Bulls are going to come away with the win there.
There we go. Backing your new side, eh, Ronnie?
Yeah, I'm just a proper South African fan and I back all the South African sides always, and I never go against my team.
So you say that, but were you backing the Stormers this weekend?
Yeah, of course.
Well, there we go. I can't get ratted out now for backing the Stormers too. So yeah.
Look, I hate the Stormers, but definitely my most hated South African side still better than any other side from anywhere else in the world.
Fair enough, Ronnie. Then the last fixture for the quarterfinals sees Toulouse playing host to Exeter Chiefs. I'm expecting quite a whitewash here from Toulouse against the Chiefs.
Yeah, I don't know about a whitewash. I don't know about sheer dominance coming over Exeter Chiefs. I think the Chiefs will put in a strong performance. But yeah, you're probably right. Toulouse will come away with a win at least.
Yeah, Ronnie, so that's the weekend's action. As always, we have a few bits of news we need to discuss. The first of which is that France are set to face a world team coached by former All Blacks coach Ian Foster. That's going to be ahead of their tour of South America. That'll be played in June. The same time we will be playing Wales in a warm-up game. Big signings for that side as well, Ronnie. Billy Makavunipolo, Semi Radradra. Fuzzy's building a nice squad there.
Yeah, that's going to be a very exciting game to watch. I wonder who France is going to put up. Are they going to put a strong side, a contestable side, or put an experimental side together for that?
Definitely going to be interesting to see how that one goes. Then, Ronnie, you know, there's been a boardroom shakeup at the Stormers. There's been investment shakeups, and it's now come out that Western Province Rugby Union will be renamed as Stormers Rugby and operate under that as a business entity. No word yet as to whether or not it will still be called Viapia for the Curry Cup and other competitions and Stormers, or if that's now all going to be amalgamated to one. Anyone that has some information on that, guys, if you can reach out and let us know, that would be quite lacquer to figure out now already. Dragons centre, Ronnie, another youngster retiring. Jack Dixon, aged only 29, announces he's retiring. You looked at Stuart Hogg retiring before the World Cup at only the age of 30. Is it the level of contact? Is it the head knocks these guys are getting? It's really concerning to see such young players walking away from the game.
Yeah, I don't really know what to make of this one. You know, arguments can be made for the game's more dangerous, the game's safer. I don't really know what to make of this, but yeah, you're right. We've seen some previous big name players retire at a relatively young age in Stuart Hogg, we saw. But yeah, concerning. Maybe not. Maybe he's just preempting, you know, those extra injuries you pick up as in your 30s.
True. Ronnie, then a big shout out to World Rugby. They completed their first successful prosecution of a troll from social media, the guy that went after Wayne Barnes and Tom Foley, making death threats against them and their family, has successfully been prosecuted in Australia for the abuse of the match officials. He's been found fined $1,000, and he's received a lifetime worldwide rugby stadium ban.
Yeah, I think that's good to see, and I think this should serve as a warning to anybody that feels confident enough to say whatever they feel like saying on the internet. And look, the guys are going to come after you if they know who you are.
And rightly so, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Ronnie, what about the absolute meltdown from the Fijian Drua this weekend? Like, I haven't seen anything like that since Brandy was flowing at Hatfield Square.
Yeah, that was, I don't even know what to make of that. You know, the Drua, I'm lost for words, really. If you go and watch some of those videos, there was, yeah, that's extreme violence. And then there was a bit of an incident with the crowd and the player that had been sent off, which was also not cool to see. So, yeah, we don't want to see that in the game.
Not at all. But I mean, for those who didn't catch it, I would highly advise going to check the highlights. First, we had an elbow to the back of a player's head that was down coming out of the ruck. And then later on, we had a headbutt. Drickley's been watching a bit too much Drickley's Du Plessis highlight videos. And two red cards for Drua in their fixture against the Rebels at the weekend.
Yeah.
Ronnie, Michael Hooper then having a cracker in his debut for the Aussie Sevens. They reached the semifinals. And I saw he had one major steal for them against Fiji. So well done to Hoops for making it out there. Eddie, take note, the man still got it.
Yeah, did you notice he's got his number on his back? It's 77, which is just looks very strange on the rugby field.
That does actually sound very, very strange. Ronnie, then we're not going to cover Super Rugby this weekend, but I think a special mention to the Chiefs here. They scored 10 tries, which is a hell of a lot, as they walked to a 68-12 point win over Moana Pacifica. Really, really going to work there. Also, Kirtley Beal signs for the Western Force. He's been cleared of his criminal charges of assault, and he's free to play again. So he'll be joining the force for the remainder of the Super Rugby season. And then Ronnie, Kitsy coming back to Cape Town. What do you make of that move? I see a lot of pundits saying he was too weak. He's been exposed in the scrums, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. Like, it's a bit of a difficult one. I thought, you know, maybe just coming home because he misses the Biltong and Francois Herba. But there's a lot of comments saying he's been found out. He's been found out for what, man? He's a double World Cup winner. Did they find out that he's got two World Cup medals? Is that what they found?
That's why they kicked him out of Ireland. He's got double the number of anyone else.
No, I agree. It's an infinite amount more than anyone else. But yeah, Kitsy coming back. Maybe Rassi wants a local captain in Kitchoff.
Yeah, we had a bit of a chat on that on WhatsApp, hey, Ronnie, and we were wondering, is Kitsy coming back to play a bigger leadership role for the box? I don't know. That remains to be seen.
We'll leave it at that.
Then, Ronnie, the May Fokchom moment of the week. And this one is actually a really special one because it goes exactly what we're covering here. The sport that's played in heaven. Big Willie saving Salman Murat, you know, pushing the guys out of the way, body blocking anyone from falling on Salman. And I see the Stormers have told him, you know, you're welcome back here anytime. Well done, Big Willie, for showing exactly what this game is about.
I agree. That video is exceptionally fantastic to watch. Murat going down, not with it. And then a big rack mall forming just to his side. And Big Willie, like a big bear man, standing over Murat. Was fantastic to see. Yeah, so that really is the game played in heaven. And that's the sort of stuff we want to see in the sport.
Well, guys, that's it for today's episode.
Thanks for joining for the banter and staying for the chat. My Fokchom, that was luck.
Make sure you smash that like button and subscribe on your preferred listening platform so you won't miss a moment of the madness.
Catch you back here next Wednesday.